longtime podcast listeners will remember that I have talked to the director Kate Powers a couple of times about her work doing theater in prisons. I've only just recently become aware of the great work that Scott Jackson, the executive director of Shakespeare Notre Dame, is doing with teaching Shakespeare in prisons. And is I'm going to start with the old joke. Is the best part of the job that you've got a captive audience?
It doesn't hurt. It certainly doesn't hurt.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 481, Shakespeare in Prisons. Scott Jackson is the executive director of Shakespeare Notre Dame at Notre Dame University and one of the founders of the Shakespeare in Prisons Network, a global forum that promotes and advocates for the production and study of the plays of William Shakespeare for and by incarcerated and non-traditional populations. I was able to return to South Bend, Indiana this week to the campus of Notre Dame to talk to Scott, and I started by asking him how one begins working on Shakespeare with a prison population.
You know, just like with any other rehearsal process, you have to kind of take the temperature of the room. Right. So I'll walk into the room in the plus unit, which is a level two unit in Westville Correctional where I teach, and we sit in a circle, and the first thing we do is we exercise, and I mean that from a spiritual standpoint, all the energy of that room, and work on creating a trust circle, which is something that I learned from the brilliant Kurt Toffland with Shakespeare Behind Bars, and creating the energy of that room and of the ensemble, because as we know with theater, it all comes down to the ensemble. Will we be able to take risks together? Do we trust one another? Do we wipe our feet on the way into the room and wipe our feet on the way out of the room? So I'll start that conversation and say, who's had theater training? Who's ever done a play? Yeah. Who's ever approached Shakespeare before? And inevitably, I'll have a couple people that have done a Shakespeare play, you know. And my range is anywhere from guys who are 19 years old to I had a guy who was in his 70s who'd been inside for over 25 years, you know, on the last few years of his sentence. So there's a huge range to kind of bring together in this common place, time and place. So I find that my approach tends to focus on acting technique first. So I'll basically take the elementary scene analysis and acting techniques that I'll teach here at Notre Dame, and put those in a very simple fashion the first couple weeks. So these guys are doing contentless scenes. We're not necessarily concentrating on Shakespeare for a few weeks because there's a bit of an intimidation factor there. So I want them to have fun and to look forward to the class, and then I'll start to just sneak a little Shakespeare in there on them. And I'll talk to them about the different plays and start to spark an interest and a fascination into the different themes of Shakespeare and what they feel might be the best fit for that particular group of people. Then I'll come in with a very abridged script, like maybe a 20 or 30 minute version.
I approve.
Or a reduced script, I guess I should have said. And we'll go from there, from a reading of that reduced, abridged script, to seeing it on the screen. So a lot of times I use Shakespeare's animated tales first.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, those beautiful animated versions of, I think there's like 14 of them. And then they'll say, okay, well, you know, let's get to the meat of it.
Yeah.
And so, like, with The Tempest, I brought in Julie Taymor's Tempest. I gave them an option of, here's the Globes, you know, the Globe screen version of The Tempest, or Julie Taymor's. Let's do Julie Taymor's. It's filled in a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll start to work our way into the full script. And then we just start performing it in the class. And my biggest obstacle at this point has been getting to the moment of performance, because it's something that doesn't happen at Westville. I can't develop an audience for them to perform in front of, because family and friends, that's restricted access to them. They don't want to perform for the guys on their floor because they feel like that would make them appear vulnerable.
Yeah.
I'm about to start my next section in about 2, maybe 3 weeks, and that's the big thing that's on my mind right now, is like, how do I get them? I'll get them to perform, but how do I find the venue where they actually have an audience and can feed off that energy?
Right. Well, I think it's interesting that you start with theater games, sort of unrelated to Shakespeare, but that seems like a great way in. So you're not intimidating them at first with text.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the reading levels vary a whole lot, you know, so you don't want people to feel on the outside from the very beginning.
Right.
You want them to understand that there's trust, that it's an ensemble, that, you know, because I tell them all the time, it's cliche, but we're only as strong as our weakest link, right?
So
you have to kind of figure out as an instructor where those flare-ups might occur, what the interpersonal politics and relationships are between these different guys who are with each other 24/7, you know, that are moving along a corridor that's 100 feet long for God knows how many years, you know. What happened in the unit that week that might be kind of finding its way into the classroom. And so using theater games, using a very accessible acting techniques that aren't script reliant, really levels the playing field and allows each person to shine in their own moments. And so you find those moments to really praise each individual contributor, and then you start to feel the cohesiveness of that ensemble start to form. And then whack them with a Shakespeare.
Boom. I mean, it seems like you could almost stop with the theater games, you know, in terms of what that's building, a sense of community, a sense of trust, as you say, a sense of ensemble. So what then is gained by hitting them with Shakespeare? What does Shakespeare do that's better, different than just theater games?
I think, first off, what we'll start to explore is the common themes, the themes in Shakespeare that are universal. And once they start, you know, I first started with Hamlet. And everyone can find a piece of themselves in Hamlet.
Yeah, yeah.
They might think he's an idiot. They might think he's the most brilliant person. They might feel like he's in a hopeless situation.
Yeah.
But each one of them can find their own personal journey reflected in Hamlet, just like I can. And it doesn't matter what they're inside for. Doesn't matter what they did. It allows them to, as it were, hold the mirror up to nature and to themselves and find the reflection of themselves and perhaps, almost on a subconscious level, a certain redemptive power within Shakespeare's works. And once they connect to that, the iambic pentameter, any sort of rhetorical devices that we are studying on a more of an academic level, they become irrelevant, because it's just about that character's journey, and they just sink into that.
I love it because my pet peeve is, you know, people saying it's all in the text. It's not all in the text. The text is great, but it's not all in the text.
Oftentimes, it's in the rhythm. It's in the heartbeat.
Yeah.
And once you engage with the heartbeat and how the words are placed and the sounds and where they are, it starts to have a very individual effect on each different person.
Yeah.
And it's undeniable.
Well, as the teacher says in 10 Things I Hate About You, Shakespeare might have been a dead white guy, but he knows his shit.
That's right. That's right.
I'm Rick Walker.
I'm Joe Jane.
I'm Blaine Swin.
And I'm Ross Bryant.
And we're the Improvised Shakespeare Company.
You can see us every Friday night at the IO Theater in Chicago at 8 o'clock.
This is the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC?
This week, we fly to Qatar in the Middle East, where in addition to a bunch of student matinees and workshops, we'll be doing two performances of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged in the Qatar Theater in the capital city of Doha on March 11th, 2016. Then we'll return to the U.S. for performances of the complete history of Comedy Abridged in Allentown, Pennsylvania, North Andover, Massachusetts, Schaumburg, Illinois, Saratoga, Rancho Cucamonga, and Poway, California, Gillette, Wyoming, Reston, Virginia, and Somerville, New Jersey. And, of course, from April 21st to May 8th, we'll perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Folger Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
I mentioned Kate Powers earlier, and she works with a company called Rehabilitation Through the Arts.
At Sing Sing.
At Sing Sing.
Is that
Kate's my hero?
Is Sing Sing kind of the show, really, the major league for this kind of work?
Anyone that says, you know, they come up with the phrase "up the river," I mean, it's got to be a major. You know, I can't imagine walking through the doors at Sing Sing and doing what she does every day.
Well, and that was my question. So, do you see the work that you're doing with Shakespeare as rehabilitative, if that's a word, did I pronounce it right?
It made sense to me.
Or as a thing in and of itself. Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, absolutely. I through my work, I think Kate's work and mine differ in the respect that I'm working with guys that are at 7 years or less left in their sentence. So my focus, I felt where I could affect the most change was on reentry and allowing these guys to engage with one another on a very intimate level that helped them just connect again to society. Because in our criminal justice system, we are just pounding them over the head with cure, you know. They're being punished for 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 years, and then we just spit them back out on the street. Yeah. And it comes back to the idea of who do you want to come out of those doors? And so my focus has been on those guys that are pretty much on their way out. Kate's working with all manner of guys. But at the end of the day, like I tend to shy away from the idea of therapeutic or rehabilitative and use the term transformative. Mm. Because for me, I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm not trying to rehabilitate a wounded knee or anything like that. I am showing them something that they may not have been exposed to, but which their own engagement could have a profound impact on their mental state and break alienation and give them a sense of hope.
Cool. I mean, even better. These are tools. These are tools to use when you get out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if I can somehow help in that process.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not the end all be all. I'm not going to be the Messiah that walks in there and cures everything. But if I can contribute to that, that's something that I, as a theater artist, can do to be part of the change.
And if you're going to teach theater in prisons, why not go with Shakespeare? I mean, you know, can you get any better? The guy, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is this work you're doing sort of extracurricular, or is this part of the mandate of Shakespeare Notre Dame?
It started as extracurricular because, as you do, you run into obstacles along the way, and you've got your own responsibilities to your job that have to take priority.
Yeah.
So I've been going in on Sundays now for quite a while, for pretty much the last 2 years. And so I just give my Sundays to the program. And that involvement, as well as the formation of the Shakespeare in Prisons Network with Peter Holland and Kurt Toflin, has become a signature program and part of Shakespeare at Notre Dame. So even though it began as extracurricular, and I'm not getting paid additional to do it or anything, I've kind of brought that work into Shakespeare at Notre Dame, and it's being acknowledged at every level of the university, so it's hard to call it extracurricular anymore.
That's awesome. And yeah, you remind me, you just had a 1 or 2 day conference as part of the Stock Conference about Shakespeare in prison. So there is a national network now, international network going on about this. Is that new? Is that nascent? Is it forming now?
So we had the first Shakespeare in Prisons conference in November of 2013. Okay. It was, and Notre Dame committed to hosting this conference twice on a biennial structure, and so we just had the second Shakespeare in Prisons conference this past January, and had about 100. We had to close enrollment at 105 prison and community arts practitioners from all over the world that came, and the whole idea, the genesis of the idea with Kurt and Peter and myself, was to break the silo and the isolation that's inherent in that practitioner experience. There'd never been a network or a convening of people doing this kind of work before, and we thought it was well nigh time to do that. And we're better than Notre Dame, you know, where we just take social justice issues and confront them and try to find solutions wherever we can. So
that's awesome. So what's been one of your success stories?
So this last section that I ended in December, toward the beginning of that section, which started in July, it was about a 6 month section, I had a guy show up that I was really excited about because we were doing The Tempest, and my original Prospero was, without warning, transferred to a different unit. So I lost my Prospero. This is a guy who had
that's showbiz.
He'd been inside for 25 years.
Oh my God.
He had taught himself four different languages while he was inside. He'd read the canon of Shakespeare. The Tempest was his favorite play. So I was really looking forward to digging into it with him. And then 1 week, he was just gone. And he was transferred to a different unit, as happens in the correction system. And this other guy just shows up. And with a gray beard down to about his belly button, right? His shaved head. And he's really quiet at first, but when he talks, he's damn smart, damn funny, right? And each week I'm finding him engage a bit more and a bit more in the program, to the point where, you know, I'm going to flash forward here to, you know, December, where he's become a leader in the class. And my teaching assistant, who's a guy who's inside, told me, you know, that guy used to just sit on his bed and not talk to anybody. And it turns out that he's been inside for 12 years, and of that time, he spent at least 3 to 4 years of that in solitary. And so he just completely disengaged with the world. And he came up to me after our last class and told me that it had been one of the most powerful experiences of his life, engaging with Shakespeare, that it helped him to break this isolation that he felt in his mind, because he was just doing his time. He was basically wishing the time away until he would be out. And he's got another 5 or 6 years left on his sentence. And he just thanked me and cried. I think we both cried together a little bit when he told me just how important it had been to him. And he's going to be my teaching assistant this upcoming session.
That's a great story, and I have to say, I think this is the first time I've been made to cry on an episode of the RSC podcast. Wow, that's a great story. If you can touch even one person like that, then you're doing amazing work. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. You can learn more about Scott Jackson's work and the Shakespeare in Prisons Network at shakespeare.nd.edu. Then send us your transformative experiences via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, positive contributor to society Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Andy Phipps. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to the dudes of the Improvised Shakespeare Company. You can see them every week at the I.O. Theater in Chicago, and they tour a lot, so if they're anywhere near you, check them out. Go to improvisedshakespeare.com for more information. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 481 1443rds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
to quote another great wordsmith, Lin-Manuel Miranda from Hamilton, it's a moment. It's a movement.
It's a movement.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I have no response to that.
All right, now we need to up your musical theater geekery.
There we go. Yeah. I know.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much
less. So much less. So much less.